Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back in, hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Elijah Campbell here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And as we do every week, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com and bring in our good friend Corey Curtis from News 2, also the number one member of the Walter Payton Fan Club. Corey, how are we doing this morning? What's going on?
I am indeed. I'm good. How are you?
We are doing great. Appreciate you taking time to join us this morning. I don't think there was very much disagreement to your Walter Payton take that you had the other day over the weekend. Pretty good player, that Walter Payton guy.
Well, I did grow up in Chicago.
You did.
And he did play for my youth. But, I mean, still, the guy did everything, and he did it on a terrible team for many years. He was absolutely spectacular. In every regard. I mean, I could go all day. And really, for me, one of the biggest thrills of my career was when Jarrett played for the Titans, and I got to know him. And I still know him today. And just getting that connection was special.
Absolutely. I would say so.
All right, I missed the take. Okay, I'm now looking at I just wanted to make sure you didn't say he was the greatest running back of all time, because then we'd just have a big argument
segment. He's the greatest player of all
time. Greatest player of all time. All right. I love Walter. I mean, I there's nothing bad that can be said about Walter Payton as a player.
No, I would hope not. He's pretty good.
I wouldn't necessarily agree with that, but I also like, you know, I like that as an alternative view of the same three or four guys who get thrown out there all the time. So,
you mean Walter Payton?
No one else has ever been mentioned.
Corey.
No, look, there are guys who can be mentioned. For sure, but he has to be in the mix.
Sure. I think it's absolutely the case. So, Corey, I want to get your thoughts on the situation with Vanderbilt this weekend with NC State. They play the game Friday. NC State is shorthanded. As we know, the game gets canceled on Saturday, and Vandy moves on to take on Mississippi State in the College World Series Finals. And lots of interesting reaction over the weekend, anywhere from blaming Tim Corbin for NC State getting tested to burning Vanderbilt shirts all over the place. What have you made of kind of the way this went down over the weekend with Vanderbilt and NC State, and now Vandy heading back to the College World Series Finals?
I felt like the Capitol was being stormed again. It was ridiculous. I mean, it made absolutely – it's a totally misplaced rage and anger. I mean, the reactions that I got on social media, that other people got, and the reaction of those fans is – totally misplaced and absurd. I mean, it's absurd. You know, anybody who knows Tim Corbin, number one, you know he is a guy of total integrity and the finest college baseball coach in the country and one of the finest leaders of young men you'll ever see. And to question that is, I mean, it's insanity. It's just, it's absurd. And it's a lot of sour grapes. And it's a lot of jealousy. I mean, I know there's a lot of Vol fans I heard from that were really angry. And there's just a lot of jealousy and a lot of angry vitriol. It's a bad situation. There's no way around it. I mean, but I hate to say it, them's the breaks during a pandemic, okay? Yeah, half the team's not vaccinated. It happens. It happens. And it's no one else's fault. And by the way, read the NCAA protocol. It's all right there. It's all right there. So whether you like the rules or not, they're there. They were there before the tournament. They're there right now. I mean, you're getting it. You're howling at the moon, okay? Because what you're saying doesn't make any sense.
Well, read the protocols, but don't forget the fine print that says, and also if Tim Corbin says that you should do something, then you must immediately respond to that. Yeah, it's been pretty amazing, Corey. I'm with you. What about the – I mean, look, and I honestly – completely buy that Vanderbilt didn't want to get here this way. No one would turn this down. No one would stop playing, but they didn't want to get here this way.
No one would want to get there that way, and no one would turn it down. Those are both true statements. Those can absolutely be true statements.
So what if they win it all? We've had the asterisk discussion today.
No. Look, they didn't do anything, okay? They didn't do anything. It's not like Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa in the home run chase, okay? They didn't do anything. They showed up to play. That's it. They did their job. And I don't care if it's Vanderbilt or if it's UC Santa Clara. They showed up to play. The other team couldn't play. That's no one's fault.
Well, you know, that brings up another thing we've been talking about, which is just the Vanderbilt thing. Look, this is, I think you're right. There's just a lot of just misplaced rage, and I understand NC State and its fans being upset about this. This is terrible. I mean, that team.
Well, yeah, it's a horrible break.
But what,
for a team that's just red hot.
But what about some of the reaction, even from non-NC State fans? And we know how Mississippi State fans feel about Vanderbilt. But
yeah.
Do you think there is a little bit out there of, I don't know, Vanderbilt fatigue, Vanderbilt evil empire narrative,
They're in the World Series for the fifth time in 11 years. They're in the finals for the fourth time in, like, 7 years. There is a lot of jealousy out there, okay? There is absolutely a lot of evil empire. You know, people all resent and want what they don't have. I mean, how many schools have tried to hire away Tim Corbin? Like everyone that's had an opening in the last 15 years?
Yeah.
And they couldn't get him. And they're not as good, okay? And every year, you know, Vanderbilt is like Alabama. They get the best pitcher in the country. They get some of the best hitters in the country. And they start the season and they're ranked in the top three. And it's that simple. And, yeah, people are jealous. People are angry. I mean, shoot, you think Volunteer fans want to hear that Vanderbilt's better at them than anything? No. No. I mean, it's a school that didn't have a national championship until I think the bowling team won, like the year before the baseball team won. I mean, they hadn't done anything in anything. And now you're looking up at them? That's hard for schools to stomach.
Corey Curtis from News 2 on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And, Corey, the Stanley Cup final is set. Former Preds captain Shea Weber taking on Tampa Bay in the defending cup champs. We were one game away from a Barry Trotz and Shea Weber Stanley Cup final. What do you think of this matchup between Tampa Bay and Montreal? And how much of a chance do you give old Shea Weber and company in this series?
Well, I mean, you know, Robbie, you can't beat a hot goalie, right?
That is right.
And both teams' goalies are rolling pretty good. I think the first team to two each night is going to win. So I think it's going to be a low-scoring series. I think the firepower certainly favors Tampa Bay. But, you know, you like to see great players get their moment. You know, as someone who grew up a Cubs fan and saw a lot of guys not ever get their moment in a championship situation, it's nice to see Shea win or lose, you know, get to this point, because, you know, they deserve to be on the highest stage and to not have that asterisk next to their name, that they were a great player but never got to the finals. And so I'm happy for him in that regard.
So for fans, hockey fans in Nashville, you've got the Shea Weber. I mean, I think most people would certainly be rooting for him, but you also have the Corey Perry – you know, that detracts a bit from that. What's the equation there?
Oh, I think Shea, I mean, no matter how much Corey Perry is a dislikable human being, which he is, you pinch your nose and you pull for Shea Weber. I don't think there's any question about that.
Corey, last thing for you here, as the Titans are a few weeks away from training camp, some interesting position battles at hand, and Ben Arthur of the Tennesseans come out with an intriguing piece on that, whether it's the wide receiver room, the backup quarterback position, whole lots of interesting battles at cornerback and the secondary as well. What position battle for the Titans intrigues you the most as they head into training camp coming up here in just a few weeks?
Well, you know what? There are two. One, you know, I'm really interested in the backup quarterback role to see if DeShone Kizer can nab that away from Logan Woodside or not. And I feel sorry for Logan Woodside. All he's ever done is what people ask him to do, and everybody keeps, you know, rooting for him to lose his job each year. And I'm not necessarily doing that, but I just think Kizer has, you know, higher ceiling, higher upside. And I want to see if he can elevate his game enough to take that job away. And then the kicking game, because regardless of how the Titans have seemed to have handled it for the last couple of years, the kicking game is important. It does decide games. So I don't even know if their kicker's on the roster right now or not, but I'm intrigued to see who ends up kicking against the Cardinals on opening day.
Corey Curtis from News 2 has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Joins us every week on Mondays at 8 o'clock. Corey, great stuff, man. Hope you have a great holiday weekend coming up.
All right, pull that tape of Walter running for 275 against the Vikings.
That's right.
Sweetness.
That's right, baby.
Billy Sims is pretty good,
Jackson
too, buddy.
Jackson leading the way at guard.
Oh, nice.
All that great quarterback play from the Bears as well.
Bob Avellini.
Yes.
Vince Evans.
Mike Phipps.
That's right.
Rusty Lish.
A blast from the past.
Greg Landry.
Corey's got them all down.
Mike Tomczak. Steve Fuller. We can keep going.
I see him in my sleep, guys. What a nightmare.
That does sound like a nightmare. Corey, appreciate you, brother.
All right, go Lions.
Wow. Walk-off moment from Corey Curtis there.
Don't mess with Eric Hippel.
That's right. When we come back, we will keep it on the Titans. Get your thoughts. What is the most interesting position battle for the Titans heading into training camp? We'll get to that coming up next. Right now, though, got to tell you about my friends at the FanDuel Sportsbook, and we've all had that dream, right? It's a tie game. Bottom of the ninth, the bases are loaded, and on FanDuel Sportsbook, you get more than one shot to swing for the fences because FanDuel is letting you place your first bet risk-free. That's right, new users get up to $1,000 back in site credit if your first bet doesn't win, and it only gets better from there. Check out FanDuel's new promo live every Tuesday, $5 Dinger Tuesdays. Place a $25 or more wager on any player to hit a home run on Tuesday and get $5 in bonus in site credit for every home run hit in the game, a max of $25. That's one of the many reasons I love FanDuel Sportsbook. It's America's number one sportsbook. The app is simple to use. They've got great odds on all different betting markets, fun bet types like the same game parlay, and always on promotions to let you get more action out of every game day. And when you win, FanDuel pays you your winnings in as little as 24 hours. So just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and sign up with promo code ROB to get in on the action. That's FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code ROB. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager for only for risk-free bet. Refund and bonus issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. A max bonus of $25 per game. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789.
Well, you know what? There are two. One, you know, I'm really interested in the backup quarterback role to see if DeShone Kizer can nab that away from Logan Woodside or not. And I feel sorry for Logan Woodside. All he's ever done is what people ask him to do, and everybody keeps, you know, rooting for him to lose his job each year. And I'm not necessarily doing that, but I just think Kizer has, you know, higher ceiling, higher upside. And I want to see if he can elevate his game enough to take that job away. And then the kicking game, because regardless of how the Titans have seemed to have handled it for the last couple of years, the kicking game is important. It does decide games. So I don't even know if their kicker's on the roster right now or not, but I'm intrigued to see who ends up kicking against the Cardinals on opening day.
That was Corey Curtis from News 2 on with us in the last segment, discussing the position battles for the Titans heading into training camp coming up here in just a few weeks. Right, welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Joe Ben Arthur from the Tennessean, new beat writer for the Tennessean for the Titans, has come out with a roster projection for the team coming up. Here's who's going to make the cut, and here who won't. There are a lot of interesting positions here for the Titans. I'm not going to sit here and read off everything that Ben Arthur has wrote, but two of the ones that stand out to me are at quarterback and in the wide receiver room as well. We've talked a lot about the receiver room. Let's start with the quarterbacks here. You've got Tannehill is going to be your starter, and then DeShone Kizer and Logan Woodside are battling for the backup position. We've had TD come on here and say that it's going to be DeShone Kizer's job for the backup. You've seen a little bit of DeShone Kizer and Logan Woodside throw at the OTAs and at the minicamp as well. How do you kind of evaluate where the Titans are right now at the backup quarterback position? And as you sit here today, who do you think has the edge right now at backup quarterback? Is it DeShone Kizer or is it Logan Woodside?
I would tend to – well, I mean, I certainly get and respect what TD is saying there, and I would agree with Corey too. And I think I've said similar things. Like, I think Kizer probably has a little bit higher ceiling as a player. I would say, though, based on what I've seen, I would put Logan Woodside still ahead of him right now. And that's even just in, like, reps that they've gotten when we've been able to watch them. I would put Logan Woodside 2 and DeShone Kizer 3, but also expect a good battle. I don't think this is going to be DeShone Kizer just leaving Logan Woodside in the dust. Again, last year we thought Trevor Siemian was going to come in and, all right, thanks for playing, Logan Woodside. Yeah. And it didn't play out that way. Now, a lot of that, I guess, that was maybe more like Siemian being bad than anything else, but – you know, Woodside was better than him. Woodside's really improved and progressed, and I don't know what his ceiling is, really, but I would say, again, with that battle, regardless of who it is, to remind everyone, like, there's a massive gap between the one and whoever is the two. So it's an important battle.
Yes.
But
that your hope does not become important ever this year if you're the Titans.
Right. Now, could I make the case or buy into the case that, like, if Kizer wins it and you have a couple weeks where Tannehill's hurt, that maybe, like, Kizer might give you a little bit more of an opportunity to win a game? Yeah, I mean, I could buy that. I think he has more talent than Logan Woodside, but right now, I mean, Logan Woodside's hanging in there, and that'll be a good battle. I agree that kicker is a huge one for sure. And the receiver room, you're right. I mean, the receiver room is very interesting. And there's a lot there that, there's a lot of cases to be made. Gosh, we had TD on last week, and he's like, you know, he had
Mason Kinsey.
Yeah. I'm talking with TD. I will say, hey, Mason Kinsey, he is absolutely that guy, that slot guy. You know, he is that diminutive, quick-footed, reliable slot guy if you want one. Do I think he'll make the team? No, but he's right. I mean, there are a lot of intriguing guys at the back end of that room.
Yeah, I mean, Ben Arthur from the Tennesseans got the Titans keeping six guys at wide receiver, and we typically see five or six teams try to, you know, kind of fluctuate between those two numbers. One of the guys that doesn't make the cut for Ben Arthur's projection is Cam Batson and Ray Sigmund-Math, both not in there in terms of the bottom half of that receiving room. That means Westbrook Akina is in, Marcus Johnson in there as well. Like, everybody talks about the top three being set, and I agree. I would go farther than that. I think four of the receiving room spots are set. Like, Des Fitzpatrick's making the team.
Yes.
You took him in the fourth round, you traded up to get him. He's making the team.
He'd have to really bomb out, and he's not. I think he looks good out there.
So, four guys. I mean, four spots are spoken for. So, you've got nine guys fighting for two spots at this point. That's going to be a heck of a battle, that training camp.
Yes, and although I will forever be known as the Nick Westbrook-Akina beat writer,
yes,
I will say that him not being available through all this stuff doesn't help him. I mean, I think that is something. Some of these other guys have gotten reps. I mean, Batson's going to be a real hard guy for them to cut. He's just a pro. He's a great presence in the locker room. He's a playmaker, and he does. It's funny, they need, like, the small, quick guy a little bit now that they've just got a bunch of giants out there. But I will say, too, Ray Sigmund-Math, I would put him in. I would disagree with Ben on Marcus Johnson, who is it's an interesting take, and it's a good observation by him, too, here in his short time on the beat. Because Marcus Johnson has been out there making plays, and they're impressed with him, and they like him. There's no doubt about it. But I would put in I would agree on Batson, and I think it's going to be hard, but I just suspect he's out because I think Ray Sigmund-Math is going to be in. I have been really impressed with him. He's huge. He runs well. He's caught everything that I've seen, and you're watching that, and you really are like anywhere but LSU or whatever. I mean, okay, Alabama too. Anywhere but like a couple places. That dude probably has like a big season last year in college football, and we think of him differently. But that's where you are on that depth chart. And man, I'm telling you, that guy has got ability. So if he is, once they really get into the kicking game stuff in camp with pads, if he's who they thought he was when they drafted him there, I think he's going to make the team. So someone's out.
I know.
Yeah.
Like, you're not keeping seven wide receivers.
I would not think so.
So the six, I think six is probably the right number for this team. Six guys with at least two of those guys, probably three, going to have to play a pretty big role on special teams.
And that's a Westbrook-Akina thing too, for right. sure. So, yes, no doubt. I mean, and that's where a guy like Batson, you know, loses out a little bit because he doesn't have as much value in various aspects of the game.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Got a texter that says, you don't cut a guy named Racing McMath. I mean, come on. It's a great name. All name team, Racing McMath.
Oh, I'd agree. If that's any kind of factor, I mean, he's got to be in there. And then you've got another, 81.
Yeah.
Who's big and fast. So, great name. No, listen, to me, he's one of the people who stood out the most. Just watching him go through that, it's like, golly, that does not look like a guy who barely produced at the college level.
Let me ask you about it. An interesting guy to me, and I think an interesting guy here locally too, especially if you're a Vanderbilt fan. I don't think he's gotten much of a shot to make the team, but he has gotten through the offseason and stuck around at this point, and that is Kalijah Lipscomb at wide receiver. He is in camp. He's in the mix for the Titans. Again, I think he's well down the list. I mean, you've got Chester Rogers. You've got Cody Hollister, Fred Brown, Mason Kinsey in the mix as well, Cam Batson, Racing McMath. I mean, I think Kalijah Lipscomb is significantly down that list. I thought, though, like when he was in college, he could be a pretty good receiver at the NFL level. What do you think of Kalijah Lipscomb, and what do you think the Titans could have there? They obviously like something at this point.
No, I mean, I liked him in college. Absolutely. He's a good college player. I thought he had a chance in the NFL. I think when you look at the Titans before Julio Jones, certainly we were all like, who's going to be in the receiver room? Who's going to play? What's the depth chart? And any receiver would look at that and say, that seems like a good opportunity. Well, now it just looks different. Obviously, Julio Jones bumps everyone down a spot. But even at the back end, you know, when you bring in McMath and Fitzpatrick in the draft, and then you still have those guys, again, Westbrook-Akina, whether people like it or not, he's thought of more highly in the building than on the outside of the building. I think he could be in other places that would give him more opportunity than the Titans will. So at this point, I'd be surprised if he makes a strong bid to make the team, but you can't rule anything out. I mean, every training camp has surprise stories, and he is good. I mean, he's a good player. He was hurt a little bit, during the spring stuff, but then he came back at the end, and I thought he looked fine out there.
Coming up next, we'll continue the conversation on the position group battles for the Titans heading into training camp. What is the most intriguing battle in your mind for the Titans heading into training camp? Let us know on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll also address the tight end position coming up next as well. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. ESPN 94.9 is the home for Nashville Sounds baseball. Tomorrow the Sounds begin another six-game homestand at First Horizon Park, taking on the Louisville Bats, the AAA affiliate of the Cincinnati Reds. Nashville Sounds baseball on ESPN 94.9, presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans and by 312 Pizza Company. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Periscope, on YouTube, and on Twitch as well at 102.5 The Game. Right now, taking your thoughts on Titans position battles heading into training camp. What is the most intriguing position battle to you? Let us know on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Got a texter that says, I'm really interested in the backup quarterback battle. The Titans were fortunate not to need to turn the second-string quarterback last season. So they've been fortunate in that area ever since Tannehill has taken over. He has been healthy from start to finish for the most part. Since he's come in, he's been able to play in every game, and they've not had to worry about backup quarterback since that time. I would imagine, like, at some point in his career here with the Titans, the backup quarterback's going to have to get in there for a few games. That is a position where I do wonder how you view Deshaun Kizer and Logan Woodside. We did see Logan Woodside throw a pass last year, by the way, and it was beautiful. It was right on the money on the fake punt.
It was.
So he's one for one in my book. So maybe we're underestimating Logan Woodside here on the show. As Corey said, there's a lot of people that seem to just be wanting to take Logan Woodside's job all the time.
Yeah, and he keeps turning them away.
Keeps turning them away.
And look, I mean, and this is like a Darren McFarland long-term, you know, rallying cry, like you got to be better at backup quarterback. They did. I mean, they, you know, John Robinson went from Castle to Gabbert, which was an upgrade. Still wasn't good enough. And then he did a really nice job upgrading backup quarterback when he got Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah.
You know, there you go.
Even Marcus, he was a great backup quarterback.
Well, he did turn into a great backup quarterback.
He did. They even had a package for him.
That's right. That's it.
I thought he did a good job in those.
Yeah, I can tell you're being very serious.
I thought he did a good job. Yeah. You keep asking me to say something nice about Mariota. There you go. I thought he did a great job when they handed in the backup quarterback role.
I'm not asking you to say anything. I prefer you just continue to just spew hate about Marcus Mariota till the end of time.
Marcus Mariota is a great person.
Once he brings the Raiders that Lombardi, you know, you can find a reason that
Elijah, am I wrong? I thought he did a great job at the backup quarterback position.
Hey, he's no Charlie Whitehurst, but
that's true.
He did pretty well.
That kind of looks like Charlie Whitehurst.
Clipboard holder.
Would you take Mariota right now as a backup?
Oh, sure. Of course. Yeah, so yeah. Absolutely.
That'd be
yeah.
a clear upgrade, yeah. right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And Charlie Whitehurst.
But that's the thing. It's like there's very few people who like can play quarterback well in the world. So most teams don't have a good backup quarterback. If you go down the list, there's like three or four names you'd be like, wait, huh? Who is this? I need to find this. I need to find the full list of number two QBs in the league. So it'd be great for the Titans to upgrade that. But again, like you have to sacrifice here and here and here if you're going to go for it here and here and here. And
do you know who the backup quarterback was last year for the Green Bay Packers?
I think we've talked about this.
It was Tim Boyle.
Tim Boyle. See, there you go. See, that's beautiful.
Who I believe is now the backup for the Detroit Lions. So there you
well,
go.
Well, now, finally, the power has shifted in yes. the NFC North.
That's right. Tim Boyle. Switching allegiances in the NFC North. Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ben texting in. An area that has a clear battle is its starting right tackle. Raiden still needs developing, and how quickly he progresses could determine who starts there. So, Ben, the battle at right tackle, the most intriguing to him heading into training camp. That's a good one.
It's a very good one. Because we're talking backup quarterback. Well, guess what? If Tannehill gets hurt, you're probably hosed. We're talking back into the receiver room. Yeah, it's important. It's interesting. There's going to be someone good cut. But right tackle is, I mean, that's where, you know, you're talking about if you are good there, if you're just solid at right tackle with everything else across the board there. And I would also add if Ben Jones can stay healthy because he's getting up there.
Yep.
But you got Lawan back, and I don't have any doubts about Lawan bouncing back from the ACL, being in great shape, being a great player when he's out there. Like, you got a chance to have a special offensive line, which is a bigger part of the whole thing than we probably give credit for. But that's typical for offensive linemen. The big uglies don't get enough attention. But, yes, I agree. I think it's really important. You invested a second-round pick. I really do. I think that it's really important. One for John Robinson, but more importantly, I think for the team this year, to have Dylan Raiden's really pushing for that job in camp, and even if he doesn't win it from Kendall Lamb right away, being on his heels this year. So one, then you feel like you've got depth
yep.
if you get someone hurt. And two, you invested a second-round pick in him. And so if he is what you thought he was when you drafted him in the second round, then – think about how good that offensive line could be by midseason.
If he works out, I mean, all of a sudden, you've got some pretty good depth at tackle, right? I mean, you've got Raiden's in there, Kendall Lamb, who you just signed, Tyson Brillo in there, Quesenberry's still there.
Yeah.
Those last two I brought up, two guys that played for you last year, and you played against Lamb, who scored a touchdown on you, by the way.
He did.
In a game where everybody scored a touchdown for the Cleveland Browns. But the point is, you've got a lot of guys that can play that position if injuries come up again. So if you can get something out of Raiden's early, you got a lot of depth at that position. Now that may mean maybe you've got to make some decisions as well come training camp.
That's true. Right. I mean, guy like Quessenberry is battling for a job, you know, in camp, I would say for sure. So yeah, no, I mean, it's good to have depth. They just aren't going to have it at various spots, but they've got it there. Now, could Ray Duns, you know, also possibly be a depth guy moving around inside and stuff like that? There's been some talk of that, but to me, you got him to be focused on winning that job and being the right tackle for the Tennessee Titans for the next few years. That should be the sole focus, and that would be big because Nate Davis right now is I think he's coming into his own as a really, really good player. You know, we know the left side, how good that can be when those guys are healthy. So you add that to everything else with the offense. And again, I say to you, Todd Downing, 40 points a game. Come on. Just upgraded to 40 points a game.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texter that says, Dennis Kelly is still unsigned. The Titans could get him for cheap. And he's still out there. I would find that to be unlikely at this point, but he's still out there.
I mean, they've moved on. They're paying a whole bunch of other tackles. So, I mean, that's again, we just laid it out there. Like, they have more than enough tackles. So, I mean, they've moved on from Dennis Kelly. I'd like to see him get a job. Speaking of that, and I was just actually talking about this the other day with young Brennan, who's still begging for season tickets. Kenny Vaccaro still out there?
Yeah.
That surprises the heck out of me. Like, that no one would see it worthwhile to give him like $2-3 million.
Maybe he's holding out.
Yeah,
he's
maybe.
He's looking for a bigger payday.
Yeah.
I don't know. But, yeah, I mean, he is 30. He's played pretty well the last couple of years.
He's 30, and, you know, I mean, no one in that secondary looked great last year. I mean, this is what happens when you have to cover guys for 19 seconds in a row. But I still feel like he's got some pretty good football in him.
Got a texter on the text line that says Rashawn Evans versus Monty Rice in the position battle.
Yeah, I don't know that I really buy that. I'm open. I'm keeping an open mind on it. Like, if Monty Rice comes in hair on fire and he's just all over it, then maybe that can become a battle. I would expect that to be pretty clearly Evans as the one.
I agree.
But it's worth mentioning. I mean, it's worth mentioning because obviously
they did take him in the third round.
They did. Now, I mean, it reads more like a next year when we don't have Rashawn Evans pick. But still, you're right. They invested a high pick in him. And look, I thought he looked good in the spring. That the limited things that you can tell, he seemed to know what was going on, running around well, making plays. And, you know, some guys have a knack for some things on the field. Like, I would say that Rashawn Evans is absolutely a better athlete than Monty Rice, but some guys have a knack and have a feel for that spot, and they're great with the green dot and all those things, and you can come in as a rookie and impress that way. So maybe that would become one. If it does, it's a bad sign for Rashawn Evans and or good sign for Monty Rice. But look, if you're a Titans fan, I mean, you want Monty Rice to also, just like Ray Duns, he's going to be in there moving forward. That's the plan.
Real quickly, we've talked a lot about the tight end position. We know that Firkser and Swain are going to be in there. They're going to be a part of this tight end room. It's interesting after that. You've got Miller Forrestall in the mix, Jared Pinkney in the mix, Tommy Hudson, Briley Moore. Probably only keeping four would be my guess. How do you think this shakes out as the roster currently stands? I still feel like you're probably going out and getting another tight end at some point, but let's say they don't. Let's say this is the room they're rolling with. How do you think this tight end room shakes out beyond Firkser and Swain at this point? A lot of love for Tommy Hudson out there.
Is there?
Oh, yeah.
Who's giving the love to Tommy
Ben
Hudson?
Ben Arthur giving some love for Tommy Hudson. Beauclair was giving love to Tommy Hudson last week.
Yeah, I mean,
he's a popular name.
Well, Tommy Hudson is one of those guys that gets overlooked because he's already been in. He's been here and he got cut, and so I mean, like, there's a little bit of like, okay, we've seen that guy. What else do you have? I would say that if Tommy Hudson beats out all those guys, you know, then that probably to me signals it's really important to go get someone, because, you know, see, I saw Tommy Hudson in camp and. I mean, he's working hard. He's fine. He's a body in there. I mean, all those guys have shown something to me. I mean, I think Forrestall looks like a good all-around tight end. Briley Moore, to me, looks more like a, you know, not quite Firkser, but a little bit more like that. Like, he produced at Kansas State. He could probably afford to put on some weight. And Pinckney, it's hard for me to tell. And TD said that, you know, he kind of stood out to him. I didn't honestly, like, watch a ton of him in minicamp, but at least he was in there. I think Pinckney's got talent. I mean, I think Pinckney is good enough to be on an NFL roster.
I do, too. I would like to at some point, and look, maybe something happened that we just don't know about. I would like at some point to get to the bottom of why he wasn't there for OTAs. It just on the surface, and I always hesitate for this because there are things that happen in people's lives that we just don't know about, and you have to keep that in mind in this discussion. But on the surface, it seems strange that he wouldn't be there.
No, I agree. And that's one of those things that, yeah, there may have been something. Maybe we'll get to ask him during camp. But I would also still say to that, if he comes out and outperforms everybody, then it'll be forgotten eventually. But he's interesting. I mean, it's they really need a guy or two to emerge there. If right now, I don't know. I don't know what it would be. I really have no idea. I think there's another name that we don't know right now.
It's probably my guess, too. Somebody coming in from the outside. Maybe it's Delanie Walker.
I mean, there you go. He was
looking good at tight end university.
Yes, he did. That's the thing for people talking about, hey, Dennis Kelly's out there, whoever's still out there. I mean, extra money, I think some of it is set aside for that potential move.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Henry texting in. Most intriguing battle heading into camp, Kaharski versus Vrabel.
Ooh, okay.
What about Joe Restaurant versus Vrabel? I think Vrabel should be in a pretty decent move to begin training camp, right?
What is it? Double kicker double reverse? What was it?
Brett Kern double reverse.
Yeah, Brett Kern double reverse. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I would think that Vrabel would be in a good mood. He's got a good team.
Yeah.
I mean, Kaharski will be his as always, Arasa Paul, as I'm now going to call him. Arasa Paul.
Okay.
So, I don't know. But I will miss, if we are off Zoom, if we're all, for the most part, I won't miss it.
I was about to say.
But the Zoom chats where you can, I mean, I love ripping on Kaharski in there, big time. I love ripping, like Jared gets in there.
I will certainly miss Robot Terry McCormick, that's for
sure.
You
got Robot Terry, you got Robot Jim.
Yep.
I mean, like, whenever Stillman asks the questions, I always put in there the Pro Football Writers Association has said you're not allowed to ask any more questions. You are banned for the next month. Jared never responds to this. But then every once in a while, Vrabel will get in there and, like, call me a clown, for example. I mean, so we got potential for some spicy camp here. But no, the Zoom chats, like, it's just a different kind of thing. Like, in the midst of a regular press conference, you can't do that stuff. You can't, like, rip each other while the presser's going on.
No, you can't.
So that we won't kind of miss.
Maybe
that.
You could just start a group text in the whole thing.
Yeah, it's just not the same.
It's not. You're right.
Because the Zoom chat, everyone is forced to read it.
That's
like
right.
You can't get away from it.
Not the case with the group text.
Can't wait to see you again, Arasa Paul.
Maybe the most intriguing position battle heading into Titans training game. When we come back, NBA conference finals well underway at this point, and some separation starting to take place. We'll get into that coming up next, including maybe some coaching news that affects a local team here as well. All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Elijah Campbell here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. The NBA Conference Finals well underway. The Phoenix Suns, a 3-1 series lead against the LA Clippers. The LA Clippers have been without Kawhi Leonard so far in this series. He's expected to miss game 5 as well. Milwaukee taking a 2-1 lead in the Eastern Conference Finals last night, a 113-102 win against the Atlanta Hawks. Chris Middleton goes off. Giannis plays well as well. And right now, things looking good for the Milwaukee the Milwaukee Bucks and the Phoenix Suns.
The Bucks and the Bucks.
You need to clip that one. That was good.
That's gold.
Joe
That's
Restaurant approves.
Milwaukee Butts.
Joe Restaurant.
Smoking Butts.
You could smoke some butts, yeah.
Joe Restaurant starting forward for the Milwaukee
Butts. There we go. Nice.
That's a good one.
Yeah. But they are looking good.
I've had some worse ones here on the show. Yeah. We'll leave those off.
It happens.
It happens every now and then. We talk 4 hours per day. Let's start with your thoughts on the Phoenix Suns. Chris Paul back in the mix. Devin Booker scoring points while wearing masks out there with kind of looks like a horror movie star being able to see. He says, all I need to be able to see is the basket. I don't need no depth reception. It's overrated. Devin Booker playing well. Suns up 3-1 in that series. Are the Clippers done? We've seen the Clippers come back and win four in a row against the Utah Jazz. Are they officially done at this point against the Suns? They feel done to me.
Yeah, it's pretty close, man. I mean, I think Kawhi was your, you know, it's a different series.
Yeah.
I mean, it is. And maybe Phoenix still wins, but just seems like too much to overcome. You agree, Elijah?
I think so, too. And the Suns are playing just dangerously confident right now. The only option the Clippers have to be able to win a lot of these games is shoot the lights out. And
yep.
They're the top 3 3-point shooting team in the NBA all year. And when the Suns have kind of figured you out to run you off the 3-point line like they did on Saturday night, it's going to be hard. I mean, you can't score 80 points and beat the Phoenix Suns. I mean, the Suns didn't even play their best game offensively, and they were still able to take advantage of them. Like this Suns team is just playing dangerously confident right now, and if there's no Kawhi Leonard, they don't have enough defensive depth, and they're just going to have to bank on hitting 23s in a game.
Well,
and that might happen once. I don't think it's going to happen, you know, the three times needed to win the series.
Well, you better make your shots, too, if you're the Clippers, because if not, apparently DeAndre Ayton's going to get every rebound out there.
Oh, he's
got 22 in the last game.
Yeah.
He's been awesome. This is the best basketball he's ever played in his career.
I mean,
been fantastic.
A nice 15-14 fourth quarter in that game. Very much a throwback to 1998. So,
Chris in Nashville on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Do you guys think Doc Rivers is overrated? The 76ers out. Doc Rivers out once again in the second round. My very short answer to that is yes, I think Doc Rivers is overrated.
Well,
he's a good coach.
How is he rated?
You know? He's rated as one of the top coaches in the game, and I think he's a tier below.
I'd say he's top 10. I still think he's a fantastic coach.
Right, the top 10, he's rated as like, there's a lot of people view him top 5, top 3.
I just think a lot of his struggles or his shortcomings in the last couple of years, I don't think have really been his fault. I don't think his game plan's ever been that bad. I think the stuff he runs is always pretty good. Like, he's had a lot of really bad luck in his career. Like, I guess it wasn't his fault Paul George forgot how to play basketball for a week and a half in the bubble last year.
That was amazing.
Or that Ben Simmons has decided that he isn't confident dunking the ball.
Or he's allergic to the rim. Yeah, I mean, that's a lot of really, really bad luck. And that Celtics team doesn't win that title in 2008 without him and Tom Thibodeau game planning how to stop Kobe Bryant making Pau Gasol beat you. Like, that was one of the better coaching jobs in finals history. It was a really, really good coaching job. He's had his moments, and I think he's just kind of been the whipping post for all the fans of teams that he's coached.
Yeah.
And he's been an easy scapegoat.
I think he's a good coach. I mean, I remember getting into this last year with the finals with Munson about Doc Rivers and Eric Spoelstra. Like, to me, Eric Spoelstra is a lot better of a coach than Doc Rivers. Like, it's not particularly close. So, like, this idea that Doc Rivers is like a top three coach in the game, I just don't buy that.
It's hard because, I mean, look, sometimes coaches get too much credit and blame, both, right? I could argue on the side against Doc Rivers, like, how do you let things get to this with Ben Simmons? Are you not also a psychologist? Are you not also supposed to be, you're not just game planning and doing film, right? Like, you're supposed to be.
From what I've read, they tried.
Yeah.
And it's a Ben Simmons won't fix himself kind of thing.
Right.
Just lead the horse to water.
And I don't doubt that. Yeah. I don't doubt that. But then, so it's sort of like, so how much of all this gets put on the coach? Like, in hockey, everything gets put on the coach.
He'd already been fired by now.
Exactly. Then you just move on to the next coach and get a new voice in the room. I think Doc Rivers is, thank you. I think he's a very good coach. I mean, I would tend to agree that maybe some people have gone overboard. But I think maybe he's getting a little bit too much blame and a lot of that sentiment, you know, in the last couple of years. And to your point, some of it really is out of his hands. Speaking of coaches.
I was about to say, speaking of coaching, the Memphis Tigers may be about to lose their coach. Current Memphis coach Penny Hardaway emerging as a serious candidate for the Orlando Magic coaching job. Now, we know Penny played for Orlando. There's obviously a connection there, and if the Magic were to hire Penny Hardaway, I think that would go over very well with their fan base. I don't know how successful he would be in Orlando and don't know how successful he would be as an NBA head coach, but apparently this is a very serious thing that has a good chance of happening, and the Memphis Tigers could be without a coach very soon.
Does Penny think that it's supposed to be just like the playing career? Like, it's a couple years, and then you move on to, you go from Memphis to the Orlando Magic?
Went from AAU to Memphis to now the NBA.
I would feel so bad for Memphis if this happened. And look, I don't know like where things would go with Penny, but he's got more guys coming in. He's recruited really well. And there was so much excitement and energy around that change, and they needed to make a change, you know, from Tubby Smith, and it's an immediate injection of energy and enthusiasm. I would feel bad for Memphis fans if they lose him this quickly before really seeing what he can do. I mean, I think he had a chance when the one year that he would have had James Wiseman, that team could have been special, you know. He put together a heck of a team. And I also just don't really understand, like, if you're the Orlando Magic, what is compelling you? I mean,
because it's Penny Hardaway.
I think the jury's still out on Penny Hardaway as a coach.
I understand, but that's what's compelling them is it's Penny Hardaway. He was a great player for the Magic, and it would be a home run hire for the fan base. Like that to me is what it is.
How many like great players have come back to coach that franchise and it went well? I mean, not many have even done it, but I think of like Magic Johnson did not work well.
Patrick Ewing.
Gosh, that's
they
right.
Very well.
Yeah. That's the way things are going right now. Like former players, like Chauncey Billups just got a head coaching job.
Right.
I mean, Jason Kidd just got a job again with the Mavericks, which is just unbelievable that he keeps getting these jobs.
I guess that technically would actually apply.
It does apply.
He played for them.
Yep.
Well, there's a lot of players who get into coaching, but not many like where it's like
going
bring
back to,
home
yeah.
the and like superstar players.
Sure.
I guess Billups. I mean, Kidd definitely would have played. Yeah, Billups would count in that. Just in terms of, but like coming back home to coach, it so rarely is going to work. But it sounds like it's serious. Our Shams Charania is saying it's serious, so I believe it. And that would just stink for Memphis. I don't know. Are Memphis fans like way less enthused about Penny now based on what they've seen so far?
Probably.
Yeah,
probably a little
you
bit.
Think so?
Yeah. I would
what
hate
do you
it.
Think?
I would hate to see it just from the I need Tennessee and Memphis to play every year, and I need Penny Hardaway and Rick Barnes yelling at each other.
I know.
It would be awesome.
But we haven't got the commitment from Rick Barnes that he was going to play them anyway, so maybe at least we get the game now.
Yeah, maybe so.
What do you think about Penny's job at Memphis, Elijah, so far?
It's just hard to tell. I mean, his best player is out after three games his first year, and then you had the COVID year in which they didn't start out really well. I mean, offensively, his teams have been atrocious. I will say that his two teams at Memphis offensively have been total eyesores.
Three now.
Three, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Have been, yeah, complete, yeah. The one, he didn't have a lot of his players. I think I considered that a throwaway. The ones I judge him on are the last two, but defensively, he's had top 10 defenses. He is a great defensive coach, and they've been able to really scheme a lot of teams out of games. And if Houston doesn't hit a three-quarter court shot at the buzzer, you know, they're probably in the NCAA tournament this year. We're not talking about them winning the NIT. So I think it's probably about a C+, B, I would say, as a coach. A little too ambitious, I feel like, if you're the Orlando Magic to try to go out and get him, because I don't know how much he's proved that he could be an NBA coach. Right now, too, it could easily be wrong. He could be, you know, the next Billy Donovan to come out and really run it in the NBA. But it's the jury's still out for me on what he is as a coach. Your team's got to be a lot better offensively if you're going to get me to be enthused as an Orlando Magic fan, if I am one, to have you coaching them.
Especially in today's NBA.
Got to.
You
got
to be able to shoot.
Got to.
Yeah, and I mean, you're coming into a bad team, and I don't know. I mean, I guess I could see any coach getting sick of the whole recruiting thing, but he's doing it well. He's figured out, you know, how it all works.
He's pretty good at that.
And now you don't get to dictate your roster.
Maybe just didn't want to deal with all that name, image, likeness stuff. Done with it.
Maybe. Maybe he's afraid of Rick Barnes.
Maybe so. Maybe he's afraid of Rick Barnes and that mighty Tennessee Volunteer basketball team. Out east.
They should be pretty good this year.
They should be. We'll see what happens on that front. They were supposed to be pretty good last year, too.
They were for a while.
They were.
If the NCAA tournament was played in November, I think we had your national champions in Knoxville.
They'd have been in good shape. When we come back, we'll get back into what was a wild weekend for the Vanderbilt Commodores. We'll recap it all next. Look ahead to the College World Series finals starting tonight as well. All that coming up
This is Robbie and Rex Road live from the Wholesaling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.